Indians right now. It can't be the Warriors because they told me not to do that with the Battle of the Detroit. All right, let's bring another Dave in. Dave Schmidt used to be here in Lima. Now he's in Rockford, Illinois. He's the author of the Senior Reports, and I've got a lot of news coming up with the possibility of a merger with the NCAA and the NAIA. What's the latest with the Greater Buckeye Conference with Lima Senior? Are they going to still be there? Are they going to go independent? Let's bring in Dave live from Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Vince. How are you doing? You're keeping busy.
I'm a busy guy. How about you?
Good, good. As a matter of fact, when we talked first, we were talking about our good friend Justin Masterson, who's now an Indian. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about the connection that Dave Schmidt has, Justin Masterson, going to the Indians. And you know Justin Masterson, and you were a college roommate of his dad?
Yeah, his dad and I went to school at Fort Wayne Bible College, which later on was Taylor Fort Wayne.
Wow.
And now they closed Taylor Fort Wayne down, so that tells you a little bit about that. Taylor Fort Wayne plays, I know, Ohio State Lyman, some basketball and things like that. But we went to school together, and his dad actually went to Norwell High School, which is outside of Fort Wayne. His mom, Judy, is from Decatur, Indiana. So really, Justin's got a lot of connections with the Lima Land area because, you know, Decatur's only like a half an hour away from Salina, just off the Indiana border over by Wilshire. So the kid's got a lot of good things. And I think the Indians, I don't know how your callers are taking today. I think they really got a great kid. I mean, you could just see that the Red Sox had way too many pitchers. They were trying to shuffle them all around, and they finally had to get rid of one young arm, and Justin happened to be the guy that ends up going to the Indians. So.
I agree with you. The talk was that people wanted Clay Buchholz, and
yep.
That with their starting rotation, you know, Masterson and Buchholz both would have been nice picks, and I like the Masterson kid. The key to the deal was the Nagadone guy, who I guess is coming, Hagedorn guy, who's coming off of Tommy John surgery, but he's supposed to be a big-time prospect. But, Dave, these guys are prospects. At least Masterson does have some major league experience.
Yeah, you know, he kind of fast-tracked. Really, he went to Bethel College, which is in Mishawaka, Indiana. He went 2 years to Bethel before he transferred to San Diego State. The reason he went to San Diego State was so the scouts would see him more, and it worked out pretty well. And he actually played. You were nice enough when you were at Channel 35 to always come up to Salina for the National Christian College Athletic Association Tournament. He actually participated in that as a freshman. So he actually has been in Salina to pitch in the area. And I think he also played. Didn't Springfield have a team in the Great Lakes League for a while, like a year or so? He played for them, so he might even pitched in Lima. So he's got some real good roots. But this kid's a great kid, and he's a team player. I mean, he's really basically a starter. They asked him to go in the bullpen. He goes, yeah, that helps the team. I go to the bullpen. He was a 2006 second-round draft choice, and he fast-tracked it. He was playing last year, in the thick of the pennant race. He was right in there during the Tampa Bay series. He was like one game away from going to the World Series as a rookie. The only thing I could see the problem is he came from a pretty good organization that likes winning. They know how to develop pitchers. That's why they have so many pitchers. And he's coming into, I'm not going to make anybody, I hope make anybody mad at me, but almost Cleveland's kind of like the Pittsburgh of the National League, aren't they now, just the way they get rid of players? I'm a Cubs fan, so I have to say that about the, am I close?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you're correct at this point. Was his dad, or is his dad athletic?
We went to Fort Wayne Bible College. Mark is a pastor. He's been a pastor for like 35 years in Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Wow.
And we had a baseball team for 1 year at Bible College. He kind of called like in February. He said, hey, guys, do you want to play baseball? Well, Mark is very talented in everything he does. He's like 6'2". He can sing. He still has his hair left, and he's just a great guy. Matter of fact, he's with the Missionary Church. I went to Grace Missionary in Salina. I know there's two or three missionary churches in Lima, so a lot of people in Lima would probably know Mark too, but Mark was just a great guy. As a matter of fact, Justin was born in Kingston, Jamaica, because his dad was down there teaching at the Jamaica Theological Seminary.
Yeah.
So this kid's been around, and you know what? He's just a great kid. I mean, even if he doesn't pitch well for you, you got a great team player, a great kid that a lot of people love. You can go on Facebook. He's got like three or four Facebook clubs. That many people love him, and just from what I heard of him, he's grown up to be a great young man, and he comes from a good family, and that doesn't hurt any organization, I don't think. And now it's going to be, I keep hearing, are you hearing they're going to start him instead of keeping him in the bullpen? Am I right?
I would assume that. He's a starter, so they need starters.
But he was pitching, you know, he's a great fantasy player because he's done a lot of relief this year, two or three innings. He usually gets two or three strikeouts, and in a Yahoo Fantasy League, he was a pretty good deal, but just a great kid, Vince, and I feel kind of bad for him in a way. I mean, he went from first place to last place in one day. That's hard to do sometimes, even even in any kind of sport.
Yeah,
so.
And also being traded for such a good player, yeah. An all-star in Victor Martinez, so a little extra pressure on the kid.
And it's kind of like that was the theme yesterday. You know, Kevin Hart was pitching for the Cubs. You know, I do some sports up here in Rockford now. And here Kevin Hart wins 3 out of 4 games, and they send him to Pittsburgh. Thanks for helping us, huh?
Sports Talk Mikoza live with Dave Schmidt, author of the Senior Reports. And as Dave has told us, he was a college roommate of Justin Masterson's dad. And,
I tried to get him on for you today, Vince. I couldn't get a hold of him. He must be getting ready to preach this Sunday. So
well,
sometime if you ever want to talk to him or Justin, we can work that out.
Yeah,
most likely.
Set that up, and I'd love to have him on either the nightly show or the Saturday show.
Great, I'll do that.
Let's talk about your senior reports and the big possibility that you wrote recently, the possibility of a merger between the NCAA and the NAIA.
Yeah, you know, things are really going pretty helter-skelter right now. And you know, it's really kind of affecting Northwestern Ohio. I mean, it's a long story. The American Mideast Conference that they're in now had 6 schools apply for Division II. Unfortunately for those 6, only 2 got accepted, 4 did not. So it's really thrown that conference into an upheaval. Now, Chris Adams, who's done a great job in Northwestern Ohio, has to be thinking about what's going on with the NCAA and the NAIA. They've been meeting. Matter of fact, I've got some good contacts at both places, and they both gave me kindly, we don't want to talk about it. Well, I've gone out, done research, and they're actually sitting down talking about a merger, which could mean a possible 4th division in the NCAA. It could also mean they would just absorb all the NAIA schools that want to go, or they could just take all the NAIA schools and make a division that way. If they go to 4th division, they may take in a lot of D3 schools. But if you go on our page that we have on theseniorreports.com, you can see, you can just follow the paper trail. Even schools are coming out and say, hey, yeah, we're waiting for the merger before we make our decision. And that's just going to play havoc with everybody. And it's played havoc with Northwestern Ohio. I really feel sorry for those guys. Chris has done a super job of starting at, you know, with no athletic program, went into a great NAIA conference, and then they have all this stuff thrown at them. They lost 2 schools from their conference who went down to the Mid-South, Rio Grande and Shawnee State are both going to be leaving the conference to go down south. And then you got them with a situation where it's split right in the middle. Cedarville and Notre Dame of Ohio went to another conference. So the thing right now is that they're trying to avoid some things. Last week, a conference called the Golden State Athletic Conference out in California that has Azusa Pacific, Biola, schools that are recognizable, Fresno Pacific, have announced that they're going to be looking at D2, and those are probably the best conference that they have in the whole country in NAIA. So we may hear something by September when they get together with all the NAIA presidents in Kansas City for a meeting. But it is really sad because it puts a lot of NAIA schools at a bad position on how to do their scheduling, how to get their conference going. And my NCAA contacts did everything but tell me yes. My NAIA contacts kind of didn't want to talk about it. And then I talked to schools that, like I said before, said, no, we're waiting until they find out if they merge or not. So
sure.
That could be the big story you hear. It would probably be a good thing for college sports, but in a way I hate to see the NAIA go away. It's been really good for those type of schools, Vince.
No question. We're talking with Dave Schmidt. He's the author of the Senior Reports, and you can read that online. And what's the determining factor when the NCAA decides whether or not they can become NCAA Division II or stay NAIA with those 6 schools that they that all affected UNOH?
Yeah, I have a real good contact with the NCAA. Matter of fact, the NCAA is very helpful in this stuff. When I talk to them, a lot of it had to do with NAIA schools, Vince. And, you know, it happens because they're smaller schools, their athletic budgets are lower, because when you make that commitment to NCAA, you're making a lot of commitment. A lot of them didn't have a full-time compliance officer in place. That's a big thing in the NCAA. They need to keep the rules and regulations straight. NAIA has been weak on that. That's why a lot of NAIA schools are looking at the NCAA. They want their eligibility better. They want those standards set higher.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a lot of people in NAIA schools have more than one job. The athletic director could be the men's basketball coach, kind of like Chris is.
Sure.
They don't want that. They want a full-time athletic director. They want a full-time compliance director. They want a commitment to so many sports. And, you know, three of the schools that didn't get in, Walsh, Malone, and Mount Vernon Nazarene, Vince, I mean, you've been around Ohio a long time. Those are great schools. I mean, they have done great in NAIA. I have a lot of people I know down there. So they were shocked. Cedarville and Notre Dame got in. Ursuline, who's an all-girls school in the American Mideast Conference, according to my source, basically has the best chance of getting in with maybe Walsh and Malone. And Mount Vernon seem kind of iffy right now, but it has a lot to do on how they presented themselves to it. If you go into our site, there's a page you can go right to it that explains what they're looking for, what they're doing. And I basically think this is just where the Giants going to, you know, devour the little guy. And it's just come down to that. Plus, NCAA pays for a lot of the tournaments. When you're in NAIA, you're mostly responsible for your travel, for your stays overnight, and those type of things. There's not a lot of reimbursement. NCAA, there's a lot of that TV money that trickles down from D1 down that way.
Sure.
When they take the moratorium off of D1, they look for more D2 schools to be jumping up again because of that. So it's kind of havoc right now, and it just doesn't look good for NAIA. And it's really sad because it does put a lot of schools in a bad position. You know, I'm glad I'm not an athletic director between me and you, Vince, or a college president.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's finish up with high school. And, of course, you were on top of the Greater Buckeye Conference with two schools deciding to leave coming up here very soon with Sandusky and Napoleon. And that leaves a conference with just four teams. And Lima Senior and Finley have been actively looking to go elsewhere. What's the latest that you know on that?
Well, they had a meeting on the 30th. I was told that it was a picnic with all the coaches and the ADs and stuff. It was more than a picnic. They sat down and said, basically, this is kind of sad. And I think I sent you the link. It was in the Marion newspaper and also the Fremont newspaper. It says, well, we're going to stick together and try to sell ourselves. But if we can't get that done, we're going to find a conference of our own. Well, that's kind of tough. I really feel sorry for all four schools because they're really in a bad spot. It hurts the kids. It hurts the athletic program. And it's kind of, you know, they're like D1s in the middle of D2s, 3s, and 4s.
Yeah.
And with the way football is and stuff like that, it's going to make it tough. And it just, they're going to have to probably sit down and do some unique stuff and try to figure out some creative ways of getting this done. My thing is, Vince, and I tell a lot of people I work with, it's fine to talk that you're looking to do things. Just don't give your details away to the media. We're all good. I'm in the media. You're in the media. Newspaper guys are in the media. You tell them something. It's like there's a conference, a new conference called the Northern Buckeye Conference, and they're trying to add two members. They've released the names of three people looking at it. Well, one school's not going to get in if they're only going to take two. And basically what you do is you cause a lot of hard feelings and a lot of things to happen. Same thing with, like, the Western Buckeye League deal when the GBC said, hey, we want to be a part of it. You put yourself on the spot. You put the WBL on the spot. When you can do that in the quietness of a room and just sit down and talk about it and maybe get some perspective, it helps out both sides. And I think the GBC just needs to, they're good schools, they're good people, they just need to find a solution. They need to bring in somebody that can work with them and see points from the outside and give them some good ideas. Because they're really stuck because a lot of people don't want to drive 3 or 4 hours to get to a game during the week or on the weekend. And it's just a real sad situation. I wish I had better news, but I just don't see it coming around the corner right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's the way of the world, and we'll just have to see what transpires in the near future for Lima Senior. It's no problem this year, but it's going to be a problem
and
down the road here. All right,
and Napoleon and Sandy have to feel pretty good. They got out at the right time when they needed to, and it's just kind of sad. And, you know, in high school, there's just some it's very interesting. I also do research on some Minnesota schools up in Minnesota. Their OHSAA, whatever they call it, their Minnesota high school, they assign teams to conferences up there.
Is that right? They make
the
decision.
And then if you don't like them, then you can leave and start your own conference. I don't know. But if you go look at our Minnesota stories, it's really different and interesting, and we've done some work up there, and the whole world is different in high school. But there's got to be a better way. You just can't leave schools out there hanging. That is not fair to student-athletes who that's a great experience for them. They don't need to have the adults mess it up for them sometimes. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's usually what happens. The kids are the ones that hurt the most. So.
All right, buddy. Thanks very much. We appreciate you. And again, if you're
joining us,
Dave Schmidt has become the biggest Indians fan because of his relationship with Justin Masterson and,
of course, a
roommate of his dad. Thanks very much, buddy.
Bye, Vince. Have a great day.
The Senior Reports, Dave Schmidt, the author of that, and good to have him on the show. And a great connection there with the newly acquired Justin Masterson to the Indians. And hopefully we'll get Justin on the show in the near future, or certainly Justin's dad. We did it with Alex Mack. We didn't have Alex Mack on the show. We had Alex Mack's dad on the show, a Lima guy. So good stuff with that. And appreciate everybody being a part of the show today. I wanted to finish up with Jason Stark from ESPN.com. And he did his winners and losers from the recent trading flurry that we had here. And it was basically the Blue Jays and the Yankees falling into the loser category. The winners category, well, as expected, you would have the Phillies and the Red Sox, based on their pickups of Cliff Lee and Victor Martinez, respectively. But believe it or not, Jason Stark has the Indians as one of the winners in this recent trading stuff. He has the Indians as a winner. He has the Phillies as a winner. And he has the Red Sox in a winner. And let me just quickly read Jason Stark. They're not going to feel like winners in Cleveland right now. We know that.